David has written this sermon with a view to giving it himself, obviously. As you know, unfortunately, he's ill. So I will be reading out David's sermon. You may recognise his verbal cadences and style, so I hope it's not too unusual coming from somebody else. With that introduction, let's begin. What are we to do when someone tells us we're not to speak of Jesus? What are we to do when our family or our friends put pressure on us to be silent about Christ? How are we to respond when our society closes ranks against Christians and tells us we cannot speak about our Saviour? All these are very real questions before us today here in Sydney and Australia. As we open up Acts 4, let's ask God for his help to know what we should do. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you speak to us in your word. We pray that you would give us sharp minds to understand it and soft hearts to be changed by it. And Lord, as I read out David's words, we pray that you would be working in all of us through your spirit, that it might be an edifying experience and that your kingdom would be glorified. Amen. To begin this morning then, I want to look at what happens in this chapter through the lens of the Old Testament passages the disciples themselves quote in this chapter. At key points, Peter and then the believers already gathered by the gospel recall very important parts of the Old Testament. And they do that because they see what is happening around them as fulfilling the promises made by those passages. So firstly, when Peter and John are released and they pray, they go back to Psalm 2, words spoken by the Holy Spirit, they recognise, through King David, quoted in verses 25 and 26 of Acts 4. Now this psalm pictures the nations of men standing against both God and the one God has appointed as his Messiah, his King for the world. And it's a futile attack, as it was always going to be. But such is their hatred for God that they press their attack against the Lord nonetheless. But what does this have to do with Peter and John? You might recall last week that Peter and John, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, healed a lame man at one of the gates into the temple. As the crowds gathered, Peter explained that this is done not by them, not by Peter and John, but by the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And they must repent and turn to God so their sins might be wiped out and times of refreshing come to them. Now, word of all this quickly spreads, and it's not long before the authorities jump on them. The temple guard, together with the Sadducees, come. The Sadducees were the ruling elite in Israel, and they are incensed that these men are proclaiming Jesus and his resurrection. This is the Jesus they'd had it executed only a few weeks before. So Peter and John are arrested, put into prison to face the highest court of the Jews, to face the most powerful leaders of the land. And so by reference to Psalm 2, the nations are raging against the Lord and his Christ. And notice it's the religious who rage here. And today the nations continue to rage against God and his chosen king, the Lord Jesus Christ. Islamic State has taken special delight in executing Christians in Iraq, Syria and Libya. Here in Australia, the homosexual lobby is doing its best to shut down Christians and Christianity because it stands against their perversions and distortions. Forces, perhaps connected, under the banner of fairness in religion in schools, are trying to have scripture classes in New South Wales schools shut down, and forces within the Department of Education seem to be assisting. They rage against the Lord and against his chosen King, Jesus Christ, as the Holy Spirit promised in Psalm 2. But the stone rejected has become the capstone. As Peter stands before the assembled council, he quotes from Psalm 118, which we read this morning. You see that at Acts chapter 4, verse 11. He boldly declares to them that his trial on account of healing a cripple is because of the name of Jesus Christ, whom they had killed 7 or 8 weeks before this day, that is at our Easter time, who was not defeated by death, but is raised and has healed this man. Jesus is the rejected stone, but his resurrection to glory declares to them and to all humanity that he is in fact the capstone, the chief stone, chosen and appointed over all the other stones in God's new temple. What does this mean? We see verse 12. We'll have a look at verse 12. There is no other way to be saved than by Jesus Christ. Their Judaism won't save them on the day of God's judgment. And in the same way, Islam won't save the Muslim person, nor will Hinduism, nor political correctness, or sexual liberation save the man or woman of today. That is the effect of verse 12. God's appointed means of being rescued from the wrath to come is in Jesus Christ. Whether a person comes from Australia, China, India, Syria, Somalia, or any other part of the world, no matter what religions may exist there, only by turning back to God and calling on the name of Jesus Christ will a person be saved. And unless you here with me call upon that name in our own hearts, we will not be saved. The Jewish authorities have a problem as they deal with Peter and John, and the problem is standing right there with them. The crippled man is clearly healed through Jesus' name, and all the people are praising God. So after a huddle, they resolve to shut these men down. But Peter and John's response is not what they were expecting. So if you look at verses 18 to 20... I'm just reading this. Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God, for we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." Now we have not seen or met the risen Lord Jesus in the flesh, but we have met him in his word and in the grace of his forgiveness. And if you or I have truly been captured by Jesus Christ, we too will not be able to help speaking about the one we have met. As an excited fisherman can't help but speak of his catch, or a shopper about his or her good buy, or a cook about her cake or dish, so for the person who is captured by Jesus. Such is the work of the Holy Spirit. This gives rise to a very difficult question. Why are we not more captured by Jesus? Jesus spoke in his parable of the four soils, that the worries of life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things are what choke off the fruitfulness of the seed. Could this actually be what's happening with us? It's the strategy of the devil to silence us, no one else. How important it is to speak of Jesus to our children, to our relatives, to our workmates, to our neighbours, our friends. There is no other name by which they can be saved. Surely we don't want them to be lost to the wrath of God. We must decide whether we're forever going to live behind our fears, forever finding excuses, or whether by the Spirit of God we'll be bold and speak. When Peter and John return to their fellow believers and they all pray together, I'm struck by how different their prayer is to mine. We might pray about keeping safe. They pray about the gospel going forward powerfully. Look at verses 29 and 30. It reads, "Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And in verse 31, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Here on our Pentecost Sunday is the Holy Spirit. And what is the Holy Spirit doing? He is making people speak boldly about Jesus in the face of opposition and danger. I wonder if we want this Holy Spirit to do that work in us also. If so, why don't we pray that God would send him to us like this now? Please pray with me. Lord, please fill us with the Holy Spirit. Please make us bold in your name. Please give us courage to speak out, words to speak, and a spirit committed to the spread and building of your kingdom as you will it, and through your Spirit even now today build up your people awaiting your Son's return. Please help us make the most of every opportunity you provide us as your faithful and willing servants. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.